This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
4, 3, 2, 1, 0.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallim wa man wala. It's a pleasure and honor once again, alhamdulillah, to gather with you. It's your brother Yahya Ibrahim coming to you live from my home here in Perth, Western Australia. I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses you and I with a contentment of heart, an increase in faith, a blessing in our rizq, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protects us, our homes, our families, our communities, and makes us from those who are callers to good for other people's betterment, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helps us to combat all that which is evil and to turn us away from that which is sinful. Allahumma ameen. It's a pleasure, alhamdulillah, to always begin with the praise of Allah. We send our salutations, benedictions upon our Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. We testify always that none is worthy of worship but Allah Azza wa Jal, and that our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam is his worshipping slave and final messenger. I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues to provide from us khayr and allow us the rahmah of gathering together, albeit from our different time zones, our different areas. And I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gathers us all together in Jannatul Firdaus with our Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Today, inshallah, while we wait for your live calls on Islami Q&A with Islam Channel, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continue to bless the channel and help it grow to reach bigger and greater audiences for the betterment and upliftment of us all. That I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses us for good. We normally meet, alhamdulillah, every Wednesday at noon London time. It happens to be 8 p.m. here in Perth, Western Australia. And I hope, inshallah, that you're in happiness wherever you are, whenever we meet. Allahumma ameen. While you call into the hotline and come on through to islamchannel.tv for your calls to be aired live with me and getting an opportunity to answer them, for the betterment, not just of yourselves, hopefully for an answer that can benefit others, I will continue with our discussion that we began at the beginning of the month. We began the month of December speaking about dua, speaking about our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we said that dua is the essence of all aspects of worship. And everything that we do in our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is built on this very important concept of bringing ourselves to understanding the weakness that we possess and the might and power of Allah, the need that we have and the givingness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allahu Akbar, Allah truly is greater than all things, greater than the problems we face, greater than what we have experienced in the past, greater than what we will see and pray that we are sheltered from in the future, and greater then also the accomplishments and successes that we have that may lead us to self-worship or deifying other things other than Him. Allah is always the greater in every aspect of our life. And such is the reminder as we begin our prayer, the call to our prayer. In fact, the thing that we call out to our children as soon as they are born into the world, they have not yet left the delivery room, and it's our responsibility to whisper into their right ear the adhan, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, hoping that these are the first words that they will hear and will resonate with them the rest of their life. We want to analyze the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and study the ways the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to communicate his needs and his praise to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, for those of you who are with me for the last 2 weeks, you will remember that we said dua is two parts. The most important aspect of dua is the dua of athana, of praising Allah, glorifying Allah, uplifting our worship of Allah. And that comes with the tamjeed of Allah, you know, extolling virtue and honor and praise upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is best done through the remembrance given to us by Allah and taught to us by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The best statement that any man has ever said, any woman has ever said, any prophet or messenger has ever said is La ilaha illallah. The best word. It is the key that unlocks the gateways to Jannah. And therefore, this is a dhikr that we make as a part and parcel of our dua, our leaning towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We understand in our relationship with Allah that the more we invoke Allah, the more we celebrate Allah, the more we praise Allah, the more Allah gathers for us His love and His attention, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who is Rahman, always merciful with His creation, but He is Rahim, especially merciful, increasing in His mercy, increasing in His love, increasing in His compassion. To whom? To those who have distinguished themselves in their relationship with Him. In fact, to those who ask Him for their needs and explain to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala their concerns. And that's the second part of our dua, which we should never ignore. The Prophet ﷺ, he said, مَنْ لَمْ يَسْأَلِ اللَّهِ يَغْضَبْ عَلَيْهِ. The one who is consistent in being distracted from asking Allah for their needs, from raising their hands in support and in need of Allah, the one who doesn't ask Allah for what they have and what they want in the dunya, it is a sign of Allah's wrath and anger has set and is setting upon them. Because the heart that is distracted from seeking from Allah is the heart that is occupied by seeking from other than Allah. And no one will turn to anything or anyone in petition and request and in devotion except the one who has been led away from the true path, the path of Allah, the path that was sent to our Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It becomes important to learn from the prophets. And you know, the prophets of Allah, alayhim salawatullah, upon them be the peace and blessings of Allah, all of them, and make us from them who are given this peace from Allah Azza wa Jal, they were those whose dua was recorded for us in part in the Quran. So we know the dua of Ibrahim for his parents and for his children and for himself. رَبِّ جَعَلْنِي مُقِيمَ الصَّلَاةِ وَمِنْ ذُرِّيَّتِي رَبَّنَا وَتَقَبَّلْ دُعَاءِ. Oh Allah, grant me constancy and consistency in my prayers. Oh my Lord, and that for my children and those who come from them in progeny. Oh Allah, accept this dua, this invocation. رَبَّنَا. Oh Allah, on all of our behalf, accept this dua. رَبِّ اغْفِرْ لِي وَلِوَالِدَيْ. Oh Allah, grant forgiveness, expiate the sins of myself and my parents, وَلِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ, and to the believers, يَوْمَ يَقُومُ الْحِسَابِ, on the day that you bring us to account, oh Allah. This dua of the Prophet Ibrahim is recorded in Surah Ibrahim. Many of the du'as of the prophets are recorded for us as sacred formulas, as du'as that we take as a lesson to make as a du'a equal for ourselves and to learn how to petition and to request and to ask Allah for His blessing. وَاسْأَلُ اللَّهَ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ. Allah commands in the Quran, be consistent in asking Allah to grant you His grace and His blessing and His virtue into your lives. May Allah make us consistent in that regard. Allahumma ameen. So it becomes important to analyze the way the prophets made dua, but most importantly, the way our Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam made dua. And it's important to kind of note that there are certain things that we should do to make our dua more acceptable, and there are certain things we should not do. Things that we should be distant from, things that we should protect our homes and our families, our psychology, our inner being, our intentions from having certain things. Both of them become important. The things we do and the things we need to eliminate from our life so that our dua is ascended and accepted by Allah. Keep in knowledge, يَرْفَعُ وَالْعَمَلُ الصَّالِحِ الصَّالِحُ يَرْفَعُ. Allah tells us that it's righteous deeds that bring forward, allow our petitions and requests to ascend into the heavens to be heard and answered by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let us begin, inshallah. We began this list last week. We spoke about being very careful with our food, our clothing, and our earnings, that we earn them from sources that are halal. Because if you are earning, eating, dressing, and your lifestyle ghudhiya bil haram, is nurtured from haram, as is in the hadith of the Prophet sallam in the Sahih of Imam Muslim and At-Tirmidhi that we studied, if you are built on a foundation of corruption, فَالنَّارُ أَوْلَى بِهِ, then hellfire is more worthy of it. And therefore, nothing is more important than the morsel of food you put in your mouth, the attire that you govern yourself with, and the earnings and the system of enhancement for your life that you seek to build. Sahaba Sa'd ibn Abi Waqas, one of the uncles of the Prophet ﷺ, his dua was answerable and answered by Allah quickly. And when he was asked, what makes you, in this regard, why do you feel your dua is so quick to be answered? And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we know he was close to Sa'd ibn Abi Waqas. He gave him news that he would be one of the people of Jannah. And Sa'd ibn Abi Waqas said, from the moment I became Muslim, I was very cautious what I ingested in myself, that I knew that it was halal, earned in halal, and taken from a halal source. Nobody was injured for it. No injustice has occurred for me to have it, and that I knew that I had worked for it. Prophet Dawood alayhi salam, one of the specialities of Prophet Dawood that our Nabi sallallahu alayhi salam tells us, is that he never ate a meal that he did not earn with his own hard work. He never took a meal, ate any food, except that he had worked for it, an honest day's work, subhanAllah. It makes your dua answered. Number two, that when we make dua, that we have a level of sincerity. And ikhlas means you give up hope in everything other than Allah, knowing that it is only Allah who affects power in the world by putting people in your life who can bring the changes that you seek and making us dream makers for others, right? We all want to be the answer of the dua of others. Imagine the beauty of that, my dear sister, my dear brother, that when a person has made their dua to Allah, that the answer that Allah gives them is you, Allahu Akbar, is me. And that's the power of charity. SubhanAllah, people ask, why do you enjoy, working for charity and, doing these kind of things? Well, it earns you the dua of others, people you've never seen, people you've never met. And their dua, they're like, oh Allah, I'm in pain. Oh Allah, send me help. Oh Allah, assist me. Oh Allah, forgive me. Oh Allah, I'm in need. Oh Allah, oh Allah, oh Allah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chooses Yahya Ibrahim, chooses, Umar Ibrahim, chooses somebody and says, you are the answer to their, you are the answer to their needs, my dear brother. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us the dream makers for others. Allahumma ameen. The third point that we will continue with, inshallah, we should always try to combine good deeds with the dua that we make. And the more good you do in combination with other good, the more good you are invited towards by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the more energy you are given by Allah in your soul to continue doing the good things that are in the support of others. We pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues to bless us and support us and to assist us so that we can continue helping each other in that which is pleasing to him, Allahumma ameen. One of the things that is a forgotten sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is that when people make dua, it is a sunnah to make wudu before it. And this is collected by all the six books of hadith, the six major books of hadith. So Bukhari and Muslim and At-Tirmidhi, Abu Dawood and Nasa'i and Ibn Majah, all of the six books carry the statements of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that when somebody has a big need, he would say to them, "Asbigh al-wudu," make a good wudu, and then he might say, "Pray two rak'ah for salatul haja, or two rak'ah for salatul tawbah, or two rak'ah for salatul istikhara." But the essence, the beginning of that, begins where with making and refreshing a new wudu, even if you are in a state of wudu. That's a powerful mindset that you and I should have. We underestimate the power of wudu. By the way, wudu, the term wudu isn't found in the Quran. Allah says to us in Surah Al-Ma'idah, for example, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِذَا قُمْتُمْ إِلَى الصَّلَاةِ, when you have stood and coming to establish the prayer. فَغْسِلُوا. The word used is wash. فَغْسِلُوا وُجُوهَكُمْ وَأَيْدِيَكُمْ إِلَى الْمَرَافِقِ وَامْسَحُوا بِرُؤُوسِكُمْ وَأَرْجُلَكُمْ إِلَى الْكَعْبَيْنِ. What Allah doesn't say is فَتَوَضَّأُوا. Make wudu. The word wudu is a powerful word in the Arabic language. It comes from different roots, but you know, one of the images of the concept of wudu, it comes from ضوء, meaning light and illumination. So wudu has the effect of a brilliant light for you in this life, because it is an unseen light for you in the dunya, but it is a seen light for you in the akhirah. It's as if you are bathing yourself with the light of protection. When you make dua, Allahumma ja'alli nura, oh Allah, cover me with your light. One of the effects of that is make me regular in prayer, make me regular in wudu. And the Prophet said, on the Day of Judgment, I will recognize you by your unique markings. Ghurran muhajjan. What is this unique marking? He said, atharul wudu, the traces of where your wudu. You know, your face will be lit up with radiant light, your arms, your hair, your legs, your feet, and you will shine in the darkness that surrounds many others. Allahumma atmim lana nurana. O Allah, complete for us our light. So making wudu before you sit and stand to make dua is a sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Number four, face the qibla. This is collected in the six books of hadith to turn your body towards the qibla in making your dua. We have a first caller on the line, mashallah. Assalamu alaikum, caller. How can I help, inshallah?
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ahi, you're talking about dua, and I've just thought of a question.
Yes, my brother.
For many years now, like maybe been over a year and a half, they're making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for something worldly, yes? And it's not happening. So because of you talking about this, I want you to just explain this to me, that what could be the reason, what is it? Is it my sins? Is there any, am I lacking of something? Because everything that you have mentioned, alhamdulillah, everything is done. Wudu, after salah, the hajjah time, you know, after the fast, after the azan on Friday, everything. For even I went to the haram, to the house of to the Kaaba, in front of the Kaaba, doing dua, doing safa marwa. And, you know, I mean, alhamdulillah, it's been a year and a half, but this worldly matter that I'm asking Allah for, and to Allah to go good in it, you know, like, I'm not achieving it. Well, could you please explain this to me? Thank you,
bro. Wallahi, that's a beautiful question, my brother. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant you the answer of your dua in the way you want, if it is good for you in this dunya and akhirah. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala turn you away from it and turn it away from you if it is not good for your dunya and akhirah, and give you contentment in the heart. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep you consistent in this dua of your need until you see its fruition. Allahumma ameen. It's a powerful question, and it's something all of us relate to. We're all in it together, my brother. So there are three things that I want to say to kind of open your heart. The first of them is to maybe look and see if your dua has been answered in a way better than what you've been asking. So for example, you know, I've had brothers who will say, Sheikh Yahya, you know, I want to marry this particular sister. I've been making dua. I did my istikhara. My mother's making dua. We're all happy. Subhanallah, Sheikh. She went and she received an invitation, and you know, somebody else asked for her hand before I did. Subhanallah, they're getting married. My dua, Sheikh. And I say to him, perhaps your dua will be answered. He says, how, Sheikh? She's getting married. You want me to marry after she's divorced? What should I do, to wait? I said, no. Perhaps you're looking wrong at the answer of the dua. So why did you want to marry this sister, brother? He said, subhanallah, Sheikh. She observes righteousness. She's a person who I believe would be a good mother. MashaAllah, she has a level of sophistication and education, but at the same time, she is nurturing and knows that, you know, the home is something we will build together. She would be honoring to my family. She comes from a background of service and commitment to others. I said, subhanAllah, so this is what you want? He said, yes. I said, but you've made it in your mind that it's only in the shape of this particular person. Well, how do you know, my dear brother, that exactly what you're asking for, that dua is still coming? You're asking for it by the name of an individual, not by the qualities that you are seeking. So perhaps you've turned yourself away from answering the dua, that the dua can be answered in the shape of another way. The second thing that I will say to you, my dear brother, as we're ending with this first segment and taking our quick break, is do not give up as long as what you are asking for is of righteousness, and then commit working towards it. May Allah open the roadways to you, and may Allah turn you away from it if it is not good. وصلي اللهم وسلم وزد وبارك على سيدنا محمد. See you again in a few minutes, inshallah.
2, 1, 0.
اللهم صل على نبي. Allahumma barik ala Muhammad. I'll be back in a few minutes, my dear brothers who are watching online, inshallah. I'm just going to dim the screen for a second. I'll be back shortly. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Welcome back, alhamdulillah, for part two of our discussion, mashallah. While your calls are coming in, and we are expecting more callers, inshallah, do come through the process. I know it can be a little bit tedious. We look forward to hearing from you live with your questions, inshallah. We ended off receiving a question from one of our brothers who was saying he's been making dua for an extended period of time, well over a year and a half. He's even gone and visited Umrah and has done what he believes is ways for him to have his dua answered. And he's wondering what are some of the things that can add greater value and increase his dua. And we began by speaking, all of us together in this discussion, and I want our hearts to kind of connect, that dua can be answered in the way we want, but not in the package that we are looking at. And perhaps you're asking, you know, for certain criteria for the thing that you want because of these criteria, and it may arrive to you, but in a different packaging. And that's one of the ways dua can be answered. Number two, sometimes Allah answers the dua for us by putting barakah, blessing in something that already exists in our life that maybe we've underestimated its value by adding greater value in that for us while not giving us something to replace it or something new. And sometimes, you know, we're making dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cures us from a particular illness, you know, my shoulder, and and subhanAllah, your other shoulder was actually on the way out as well. It was something that was not going to maintain its current form. But because of your dua, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed that other part of you that was also on the way out so that you weren't dealing with two things. So that the healing that you wanted for this side actually came into this side, which was better for you in the knowledge and wisdom and the foresight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you and I are not privy to. And that is a better outcome for our dua. Third thing that I would say is to trust Allah. SubhanAllah, the Prophet ﷺ says to us that Allah is more merciful with you and I than we would be merciful with ourselves if we knew the outcomes that existed. So if you were to design the best life you could ever give to yourself, it would be the life you're living today if you knew what Allah knows, even though you might look at your life today and wonder, where is the mercy of Allah? When will it descend upon me? And subhanAllah, if anyone could have said that, it would have been those who lived with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who were, you know, making their struggle with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam under very difficult circumstances. May Allah give peace and ease to your heart, my brother. Stay consistent with your dua. May Allah allow it to manifest in khayr for you or deter it from you. Allahumma ameen. We have another caller on the line. Assalamu alaikum, caller.
Wa alaikum assalam, brother Yahya. Kayf akhbarakum, brother? We are here from New York. We are calling you and we are seeing you on the screen, mashallah. We always, you know, happy to see you on the screen. And mashallah, please keep doing dua for us. And, you know, we like dua from you all the time, brother.
Allah barik fi. Rafa Allah qadrana wa qadrakum Hajj Rafat. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala join us in this life in good and allow us to be together, inshallah, in the best of places, in the best of times. May we stand on the mountain of Arafah together one day. Allahumma ameen.
Inshallah. Brother, inshallah, today I have two questions for you. The first question, brother, is about looking at divorce as a tool of resolving problems instead of as a negative, thing in our, deen. We don't understand what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There is, it's not like supposed to be like somebody is bad if somebody, makes divorce, because at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we know that Zayd ibn Haritha, he divorced his wife Zaynab, and then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam he married our mother Zaynab, radiyallahu anhum wa ardahum. So, brother, I want you to to explain to us also that divorce, does it mean that the husband is a bad husband or the wife is a bad wife? Sometimes it doesn't work out because each one has different, views or different things. Doesn't mean that against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or against, the other person. This is the first question. And the second is, so if we look at it as a tool to solve a problem, inshallah. brother. And the second question, brother, is about, you know, like الشرك العملي, about associating with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with, you know, when you do things. Examples, like sometimes you are submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in everything by tongue, but when it comes to your life, action life, you know, you some things you refuse to listen, you know, I mean, to do whatever Allah wants from you, or you are go against what He says, you know. So I want to know what's the punishment of us, because we are, you know, most of us, we are in this thing, which is the shirk al-amali. So, and how to go out of it, inshallah, brother. Jazakumullah khairan.
Allah barik fikum, jazakumullah anna khair al-jaza. You know, the topic of divorce is a topic that we'll probably try to cover over a few episodes, inshallah, in the coming months, bi-ibnillahi ta'ala. Divorce is, as you mentioned, I like the word that you mentioned, tool. It's something that at times becomes a necessity. There are certain tools that are put away that you only use them when there is a need, when there is an emergency. And if you don't have that tool, if you don't have the ability to fix the bigger problem, then it becomes an even greater problem. And of course, tools are meant to be used by those who know how to handle them and carry them. And therefore, you know, a great deal of advice and mushawara is meant to be taken before a person becomes inflamed with just the moments of anger and just uses that capital T word. You know, talaq is not an easy word for us as Muslims. And it's one of the most objectionable things that are permissible for us as Muslims. So it's something that is permissible, but it's not something that is light and easy. And it's not meant to be something that's like a revolving door. I got married, I didn't like the person, okay, I'm going to find somebody else, we're going to just move along with our life. It's meant to be a commitment. إِنَّكُمْ أَخَذْتُمُهُنَّ بِكَلِمَةِ اللَّهِ. You've taken that spouse, that husband, that wife with you in a promise that you made to Allah, عَلَى كِتَابِ اللَّهِ وَسُنَّةِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ, to follow the ordinances of Allah and the tradition of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But when breakdowns occur, فَلَا عَيْبٌ, there is no shame, there is no dishonor for a person who does what is halal, in the same way that there is no dishonor in doing the halal of marriage, there is also no dishonor for an individual and their family in doing the halal of having an amicable separation. فَإِمْسَاكُمْ بِمَعْرُوفٍ أَوْ تَسْرِيحٌ بِإِحْسَانٍ. Those are the instructions given unto us by Allah. Hold on to each other in that which is equitable and good, and you recognize the good of each other, or separate and disband from each other with ihsan, with an increasing level of excellence in your treatment of one another. Now, of course, there are a lot of emotions that need to be managed. Sometimes there are mental health issues that are at play. Sometimes it's cultural ramifications, and sometimes it's the evil of the shayateen and the uncleanliness of one's spiritual state that pushes righteous souls away from them. All of those are factors and others that can lead to divorce. What I will always say when it comes to that, the word talaq, it becomes very important for us to make the decision that we would make according to the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. We are forbidden, it is haram, for a person to divorce their wife in the same period of time that they have been intimate together in that same time period, during that month. In fact, for the divorce to have a good effect and for it to be a righteous divorce, that if you were to be intimate in that month and something happened a week later, 2 days, you know, and you're like, oh, that's it, I want a divorce, you are actually forbidden. It is haram to give the divorce until your wife has her menstrual cycle, finds purity from it, and then if you want to make that decision, then you've had that time to think about it. That's just one of the rules that many people, subhanAllah, forget. Just like there are rules for getting married, there are also rules for getting divorced. And because we are lacking in acquaintance of the details of our deen, our sharia, and sometimes these are topics that aren't spoken of in the days of Jumu'ah and so on, they do require more detail. It becomes important to take time with those capital decisions in our life. The second question you had, my dear brother, was about shirk in action and shirk in how we view the world. All of us are believers. All of us in our heart is a statement of La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. There are two levels of shirk. There's the major shirk, which is disbelief in Allah, and included in that major shirk, which is hypocrisy, where a person has no faith in Allah, and at the same time, they may claim to be believers. But in their heart, it's empty of faith in Allah. It's only ridicule, rancor, and hate towards God. But then there's the minor shirk, which is to know and to believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but to do the actions of those who do not believe in Allah. And that has a level where in each and every instance, it is meant to have a moment of us returning to Allah and repenting. And I leave you with this hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, إِنَّ أَخْوَفَ مَا أَخَافُ عَلَى أُمَّتِي. Of the things I fear most for my ummah, الشِّرْكَ الْخَفِي, the hidden capacity to disconnect from Allah with a minor shirk. They said, وَمَا الشِّرْكُ الْخَفِي يَا رَسُولَ. What is this subtle, silent, hidden shirk? He said, أَنْ يَقُومَ الرَّجُلُ, is that a person may stand up, فَيُصَلِّي, and as they stand in their prayer, this man stands in their prayer, فَيُزَيِّنُ صَلَاتَهُ لِمَا يَرَى مِن نَظَرِ الْمَرْءِ إِلَيْهِ, that they beautify their prayer because they see somebody watching them or praying with them. You know, if we pray alone at home, Allahu Akbar, up and down, and it's quick, قُلُوا اللَّهُ أَحَدًا, and finish. Somebody visits our house for that one night, one salah, all of a sudden, Sheikh Sudais, mashallah, shows up, Alif, Lam, Mim, and it's a different story. That is something we should be very careful with. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala purify our heart, make us sincere to Him. Allahumma ameen. We have a caller on the line. Assalamu alaikum, caller. How can I help, my brother or sister?
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Sheikh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Good to hear your voice.
Jazakallah khair for taking my question. Is in the form of question as well as seeking advice. The thing is, it's for an older person. He has everything in his life around him, and he does dua for all people around him. But he finds that his dua, he feels that his dua is not having impact. It's like, I give you an example. He prays for his grandchildren. His grandchildren turn out to be autistic. He prays for his children to be pious. Now they're not even praying. Like his daughters are not even doing hijab. So this sort of thing, that sort of thing have an impact on him. He's feeling that he's not maybe doing things right. So advice for him that how his dua for other people, he himself, find now, then because of, you know, maybe because it's related to his old age, that he's finding he can do most of the day chores for his life, okay, but when he's come to doing ibadah, like doing tilawah or doing tahajjud and things like this, he's finding it extremely difficult for him to do. So in this situation, what he needs to do to improve himself and improve that the dua he is doing for Najbiris and others, that he can see some result of his dua, so he can feel that his dua is being answered.
Allahu barik fikum. Wa alaykum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala send His light into the hearts of all of us, into the hearts of these people who we have mentioned incidentally. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala lead them to a better practice of their deen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect their lineage and their offspring from straying further away. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala answer all of our dua in seeking good for each other. Allahumma ameen. I'm going to answer this question by sharing with you a dua of one of the righteous people. There was one of the great imams of the people of Islam. His name is Al-Imam Ibn al-Jawzi. Al-Imam Ibn al-Jawzi, he was one of the skilled teachers in Baghdad. He was a poet and a writer, a tafsir scholar, a hadith scholar, an orator, everything. And he used to have special students, righteous students, you know, the best of the best, who would have special classes with him, and they would sit a little bit near the river, the Tigris. And as he's sitting there one day, across on the other side, there was a group of young people, similar age to his students, who were committing sins. There was mixing with, people of, you know, doing haram things. And they could see them from across the river. And the young students who were with him, they said, Ud'u Allah, make dua against them. you know, look at these people. They've gone so far to this audacity to be in public, to do these lewd acts, make dua against them. So Imam Ibn al-Jawzi, he raised his hands and he made dua to Allah. He said, Allahumma kama as'adtahum fi dunya, fazidhum farahan fil akhirah. He said, O Allah, as you've given these people happiness in what they are enjoying themselves at the moment, they're enjoying themselves in haram. O Allah, as you've given them joy in life, give them a greater joy in the akhirah. Which means that the dua that he's asking for Allah to give them hidayah, to give them repentance before their return to Allah. Dua is not meant to be something that we use with Allah as a tool where we assume that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is there to answer our every single dua in the way we ask, in the way that we seek. In fact, we see in the Quran is we're asking for something, but Allah may give us better in other ways. And I want to say to this dear uncle, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give him coolness of heart and allow him to understand that there were better people who had faithful dua to Allah who were not able to save their children on account of them being righteous and making dua for their children. And Allah tells us in the Quran of numerous stories of children making dua for their parents and their parents were not survived. Of parents making dua for their children and their children did not conform. What we need to do is to do two things, inshallah. Trust Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, continue to make dua, and then to do the things that make effect in the life. So it might be that we invite our children to attend a talk, that we continue to counsel them, that we assist them with, you know, financial gain and financial services to turn them away from some of the haram things that they might be doing. To do these kind of things in a way that can assist them to doing bigger and better things, insha'Allah, into the future. And I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can open the doors of righteousness. Allahumma ameen. We'll continue with our discussion of getting our du'ats answered by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we said make wudu, add good deeds, face the qibla, which is found in all the six books of hadith, and then to sit in the position of tashahud, to sit in humility, as if you are waiting to be attended and to attend to the need that you have with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, to sit in the position where we make our tashahud and to make dua before Allah in that position. Another important sunnah we learn from the Prophet ﷺ to gain our dua being answerable by Allah is to praise Allah in the beginning before of our request and at the end of the dua. And that's what sometimes people forget. People begin by saying Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, and we begin by praising Allah, but we forget to end by that. So I want you to sandwich your dua almost as if you're making a sandwich or a hamburger. You have the bread on the top and the bread at the bottom. That is your praise of Allah. That is, you know, that's what defines a sandwich. Otherwise, it's just a piece of meat. If you didn't have the bread on the top and the bottom, it's not a hamburger, it's not a sandwich. You need both for it to be complete. What comes in the middle, of course, is your request. It's the meat of the issue. It's important for you. These are things you need. But the thing that defines what it is that you're doing is your praise of Allah in the beginning. And do not forget to praise and show thankfulness to Allah at the end for a considerable amount of time. That's collected by all of the six books of hadith. Another important aspect is to make dua for the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ with the dua that you make yourself. Because your dua for the Prophet ﷺ, your durood and your salawat upon Rasul ﷺ will be accepted. إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَمَلَائِكَتَهُ يُصَلُّونَ عَلَى النَّبِي يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا صَلُّوا عَلَيْهِ اللَّهُمَّ صَلِّ عَلَى مُحَمَّدٍ وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد. Be consistent in your salah upon the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. إذا when you are making dua for Rasul صلى الله عليه وسلم and you make your durood and salawat, كفيت همك, your worry will be taken away from you, and your rizq will be increased, and your body will be strengthened, and your name and reputation will be made protected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and many other wondrous things. Another important aspect is to spread your hands out before Allah the way a beggar asks. And to raise your hands up in dua, to make your request from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to petition Allah azza wa jal, as if one who is waiting for kindness of Allah to descend upon it, that you are also uplifting your dua to Allah, you're speaking into it and asking Allah to answer it, that you are one who is dependent upon Allah in that regard. You are like a slave in front of the master who's giving the orders and giving the instructions. You are like the one about to be sentenced by the judge as you stand before Allah in humility, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another important tradition and sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ is to mention your helplessness and your dependence upon Allah. And people forget this. They make dua just by requesting, oh Allah, give me, oh Allah, give me. But they didn't grovel and make their need to Allah known. Listen to Prophet Ya'qub. He says, إِنَّمَا أَشْكُ بَثِّي وَحُزْنِي إِلَى اللَّهِ. I only raise my complaint of sorrow and sadness, of weakness to Allah. Nuh alayhi salam, he says, Rabbi, inni, O my Lord, I am weak, fantasir. You be my support and grant me victory. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant you and I an accepted dua, make us from those who are blessed in this dunya and akhirah, assist us with khayr, and I hope to see you again in good health next week, inshallah. Wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
يا أيها الذين آمنوا أطيعوا الله وأطيعوا الرسول وأولي الأمر منكم فإن تنازعتم في شيء